Okay, we're back with you with our morning awakenings here. This is a good one, you guys. Mm-hmm. It's a good one because it hits everybody. It's particularly hits home to myself and really all of us when it comes to these things. And we're going to talk about dopamine, the pleasure and happiness, serotonin, homeostasis, and all these good words mm-hmm. that actually mean something very crucial in our lives when we look at our everyday living, especially in places like America. You know, it's been said that the richest countries in the world have the most depression and suicide, anxiety, all of these things that we experience that are negative, the richest countries in the world. And why is that? Because we have the most
access
to the dopamine shots, the dopamine hits. And meaning, the dopamine, we'll break this down a little bit, but the dopamine hits, okay? A lot of you know what dopamine is, or the dopamine hits, but
it's a chemical release in your body.
Yeah, it's a transmitter that says, I want pleasure and I want it now. So when you look at everything in your life, everything surrounds, especially in a place like America, where we have it on billboards, we have it instant on our phones.
Instant everything.
Instant hits.
Instant download, instant book, instant movie. Instant food delivered to our door now, instant everything.
Those are all pleasure dopamine hits. And we're going to talk about the difference between that and sustaining happiness, which is the serotonin. And I know from my life and what I've seen in my own family, my own friends and world, you know, it's one thing when you're already kind of bent towards wild adventure. And that comes from what you've seen growing up. And then it's in your DNA. It gets massaged in from the ripe old age of two years old and then 2 to 6. And then your brain is like a sponge for these things that you look and watch and see and absorb.
Yeah, till you're 7. What's Bruce Lipton say? Give me a child till they're 7 and I'll give you the adult they'll be.
Exactly. And that's why there's an attack.
The chalkboard era.
And a brainwashing of children going on all over the world, right? Because they know if they can get the children first, then they've got them for life.
Yeah.
So I know for me and my life, it was always about the instant rush, the instant pleasure. So when in my partying days, it was always another beer. I got to have another beer because why? I wanted the dopamine hit
now,
and I wanted it now. So I had to have another one, or another cheeseburger, or another fry, to feel this pleasure. Not even realizing that it was killing the neurons in my brain, and when those begin to die,
cells, yeah.
Those cells begin to die. This is what leads to addiction. And so then you're scrambling going, wait a minute.
Yeah, your body down regulates,
yeah.
creating less receptors for the dopamine because you're stimulating your brain so much and your brain's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're getting out of homeostasis here, out of your centeredness. And so now we've got to down regulate your receptors so that dopamine won't hit and make that connection. But what happens is your body starts going frantic, like, oh my gosh, where are those receptors? I'm not getting the hit. So then you got to have more. You're trying to get more to get those last three receptors that are still available that have now died off. Those cells have died off.
And not realizing, just like alcohol kills brain cells.
That's what's
drug
going
addiction
on.
And all this. And so then we go into addiction mode. And then you get into addiction, then we're in trouble, right? But think about this homeostasis. She mentioned homeostasis. What is that? It's the healthy balance and middle ground of home, meaning in a spiritual sense, you're thinking, okay, this is heart-centeredness. Whereas in your brain, it's the balance between the serotonin. Yeah,
the left and right side.
The left and right side, the serotonin, and then the dopamine. But serotonin is the long-term happiness, which you cannot overdose on.
Yes.
So it's the long-term. So how does this translate spiritually? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a sustaining long-term thing that you cannot overdose on. Mm-hmm. And why is that a strength? It's because it's that balance of saying, wait a minute, I'm not living out of dopamine all the time, to where it's killing things that it shouldn't. And I'm not imbalanced. I'm right in the center. And what is the center? Let's break down the word homeostasis. What does that sound like? Home. Okay, I'm at home in this creative center. Because creativity is the healthy balance, really. It's living creatively. And what you're bent towards, what your desires are, what your likes, what your calling. But it's really, it's the contribution, yeah. It's the contribution of serving. So home, you're at home. Io, and it just as it sounds, Io is God in Hawaiian. When you hear Io, home Io is you're at home in God. You're in the balance and you're in the center of it all, heart-centeredness. And then stasis is you're staying in it so that you're not imbalanced, right? So, man, society lives in this imbalance all the time.
Yeah, because the whole marketing gurus, they know that, you know, because why are they after your dopamine? Because the dopamine wants it now. So that's a now sale for them. So this is why they're marketing and advertising all these pleasurable things, because they know if they can get your pleasure, they've got a sale like that, you know, because the dopamine wants it now. And it's just, I mean, if you do some research, this is just crazy. The companies pay high dollar for like these like psychic type people to get in there and that know the subconscious, how the subconscious works, to totally manipulate you to buy it. Like I just heard one on Pandora the other day where it was a McDonald's commercial, and they bring in this real just sultry voice and says, you know, you're going to be going to the Golden Arches and you know you want that second fry because you made the effort to go all this. You deserve a second fry. So it's reward. It's reward, right? You deserve that second ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Fry. And then he does it. Yeah. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Real seductive. Yeah. Seductive.
And so then you start thinking, that's right. I deserve a second fry. So it's the hitting the reward factor that's connected to dopamine. You want that reward.
Same with Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. Open happiness.
Yeah.
What a play on that. Think about this. So you've got the deception coming in on what's, and then seemingly happy because the guy is drinking his Coke and he's happy. Smiling. He's open happiness, but it's completely contradicting what is really true. So you've got, it's the misleading factor. It's deception, right? Because you're opening a Coke, which is pleasure. It's the dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes on to say, oh, you're really opening serotonin. You're really opening sustaining it's happiness. It's a lie,
yeah.
It's a lie. There's no difference between that and a prescription drug commercial.
You've got to have another one.
Prescription drugs.
It's no different than the chips. You can't just have one.
Can't just have one. Have another one. It leads to long life and happiness. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, in the grave.
Yeah, and we just, okay, so guys, we like Marvel movies. A lot of you know that. So we just went and watched the new Thor movie.
Love and Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Love and Thunder. Okay, so it was good up until a certain point. And then we're like, what in the world is going on here? There's hidden messages. There's hidden messages in every movie. But this particular one with the chemotherapy, I don't want to give it all away, but there's chemotherapy going on, cancer, and then
the racial stuff going on.
And then all of the stuff that the bags of chips and the candy and all that are brought in. And that's the very stuff that's actually caused the cancer. But they're making it look like, oh, you need a reward. Yeah. And this is going to help you even though you're dying of cancer, you know. So it's the whole subliminal thing that causes such great deception, and then we don't realize what's going on in our own brains, and then we want to call everything the devil. Well, there's a lot of such just dark things. We agree. But how much of this is our own addictive behavior going after the dopamine effect because we want to feel good? And for guys, especially, I'm going to do a whole series on this because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
But for guys, you know how this is. And my own family, man, it's, oh my goodness, dopamine hit after dopamine, going and getting new cars. And I've done this. going and getting new things, new toys.
It's gone all the way from your dad down to you, your son. I mean,
It's going and getting the new cars. It's going and getting the new toys.
The new clothes.
Why? It's that dopamine pleasure hit that is short term.
I want it now.
And I want it now. And then because you want to go back to that feel good hit, it goes into everything else. Okay, where can we... And you see this all over the place, right? People rushing to Disneyland, rushing to the beach. This is why we see crowds at the beach. This is why we see crowds at the parks. Now, is there anything wrong with going to the beach? Of course not. Of course not. But here's the difference. When Amy and I live in... When we live in Hawaii... We're not currently there, but we'll be there back again. But when we live there, we watch this happen over and over again. What you see is somebody come to the beach and they're like, oh man, this is such happiness, right? It's the long-term sustaining, oh, I needed to get away. So I'm happy and content with the sun, my beach chair, and my water. Then you see about 50 feet down the beach, you see somebody sitting there with loud music, smoking a cigarette.
Drinking their beers
one after the other. They're loud and obnoxious. And you're going, ooh,
what's the difference?
There's dopamine addiction right there.
Surrounding them.
And then the long-term serotonin happiness down the beach.
Yeah, it's amazing. So... You know, the dopamine has to have the reward. And here's the thing, too, because we are being so brainwashed with all the slogans saying this is happiness. Because, you know, what's the first thing that comes out of most people? I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. But we're catered into dopamine. We're catered the messages into dopamine. And so it's like, it's just even with the dating shows, they're like, this one girl's like, I want the butterflies. I want somebody to make me feel good. I want, you know, and if it's not, I'm done. And it's just, they're reaching, they don't understand how happiness and serotonin works. And it's amazing. So dopamine, an easy deciphering from the two. Dopamine takes, right? I want it now. I want it my way. This is about satisfying me and getting rid of my pain. Where serotonin is... How, you know, it feels so wonderful to give this item to you or to serve you or just, it's gratitude. I'm loving being in this moment right now. I'm content and I feel just the most amazing bliss because of it. So, and it's not addictive, but yet you stay in this state of bliss and contentment. Like Paul said, I've learned to, you know, Paul in the Bible, I've learned to be content whether I have much or little. And same with the studies of like, you know, a Buddhist or Zen type people, they teach about being centered, you know, not being extreme one way or the other, because they've found that blissful state of contentment, you know, where dopamine is just getting us to reach for satisfaction everywhere. Yeah, take. And it says that dopamine effect does not think about the consequence of the future. And this is where we get into trouble, right? This is where you have broken marriages, you have broken relationships, broken jobs,
midlife crisis.
Because it's like, I don't care how this affects my future. I want it now.
Because you've been in pain for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And misalignment. Really, guys, this comes down to alignment. It really does. You know, from a spiritual standpoint, we're spirit first.
Yeah.
But our society bombards us, making us think that we're not. We gotta have the counterfeit pleasure now. This is why there's a war between the spirit and the egoic nature. Flesh in biblical terms, okay? So it's flesh versus spirit. Spirit versus egoic nature. Heart-centeredness versus...
The ego.
So when she was explaining, so I was just thinking about... It's a difference between ambition to meaning. It's going from ambition to meaning.
Mm-hmm.
See, ambition is the pleasure thing that says the egoic nature is what rules my life. And I'm going to get what I want, when I want it, and I want it now.
Yeah.
And then your meaning part is that phase where you transition from ego to meaning. And you're like, ooh, it's all about service now. It's about heart-centeredness now.
Yeah,
now, if you try to give out in service while you're still in pain and you're wanting the dopamine, that's when you get resentful. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, wait a minute. You want me to give right now?
I have nothing.
I have nothing to give at all because I have been addicted to taking. Mm-hmm. And what does it do? That taking has killed those cells, those receptors, and now you're in depression. So depression is that point where you have no reward system because you've exhausted it all. Yeah. You have no motivation. You've gone through addiction to the point of almost death. This is why you have sayings like scripture, wages of sin is death. Well, the wages of dopamine, pleasurable things equals the death of the cells.
Literally, death scientifically of the neurons, proven.
Scientifically proven, and then you literally wind up dying. Well, so we want to reverse that, right? We want to reverse that by saying, okay, wait a minute. It's okay to, and here's the balance in this, you guys. The homeostasis is what they call it. Like we mentioned, is the balance is, okay, when I'm moving towards alignment here with what my spirit feels is right in line with where my sustained happiness is, and that's called creative flow, creativity, whatever it is. If you love to cook, if you love to do hair, if you love to do work on things as a mechanic. Yes,
your love specialty.
Your love specialty.
What releases love through you and you get a hit off of it, right? That's a healthy hit, right?
It's sustaining.
Yeah.
It's sustaining. And so when we're not in alignment, what happens? We move towards the dopamine hits to say, okay, this makes me feel like I'm in alignment, but it's an illusion.
Yeah, it's manufactured. We were you had a good example earlier this morning about the drug hit and even
Think about this, drug addicts. Okay, the first thing that the police look for when they're cracking down on the drug addicts is let me see your arms. And they call them track marks, right? They're needle marks. And the needle marks, this is an example of what a dopamine hit looks like when a person moves into addiction, is dopamine stabs the arm and says, here, I'm going to leave a mark on your body to show how many dopamine hits have turned into an addiction.
A mark on your life.
The mark, the mark of the beast, right? It's marked on you physically. And so there you see someone that's turned it, the dopamine hits, the pleasurable thing, so much so that it went in and killed everything off and led to addiction. And so the reversal of that is to, first of all, stop what you can that are bringing these dopamine hits. Yeah, they call it
a dopamine fast.
Dopamine fast. And you do that by edging towards the creativity, something you enjoy. So, for example, let's make this...
Hit the stream. You got to hit the stream.
Hit the stream. And let's make this real practical. If you live in America, you live in a nation where you can have a plethora of different opportunities, then you take an assessment of your life right now, and this can happen very quickly. If you're so beat down through dopamine hits and you have a lot of brain cells killed off, then ask somebody that's around you that loves you and knows you well, what do you believe I'm good at? What do you think really makes me come alive? What do you see me happy in? Because happiness is sustained joy, guys. It's sustainment. It's that serotonin sustained life. And so when you ask them that, then they give you that feedback. If your spirit, if you can feel your spirit leap in any way, then you know you're on track.
Yeah.
So then you go out and what do? You go on Indeed.com or you wait. The better way to do this is to sit with yourself. To sit with yourself and shut, you can turn your phone off. You can put that phone in a different room. There's things that you can't. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Yeah,
there's the dopamine hit again.
There's the dopamine hit. Yes, you can. You have a free will to do these things. Nobody is tying you down unless you're in prison, right?
Yeah, you're choosing either way.
Anyway, so you can do those things and shut it down from it. Go out into nature, all right? And just quiet yourself and allow the sustained homeostasis to speak to you. Because it will. It's your spirit. It's heart-centered. It will begin to speak to you. God will begin to speak to you. and lead you in the way. And then all of a sudden, doors and opportunities will open, begin to open, crack open to you to go towards that creative flow that'll lead to sustained happiness.
Yeah. And another great simple question to ask yourself when you get out there in nature, you dial yourself down, or just in a place you enjoy, wherever it is just, or just even simply in the shower, right? Ask yourself, what do I love? And you just keep saying, keep listing everything you love, and you will feel the truth start rising up and bringing clarity to you and direction, because you'll be able to gauge now, yes, this really, oh, I love doing this. I just love doing this. And this, and I love this person, or I love this thing. And you'll be able to see a common thread and have more clarity and feel the shift in your body. And when you're doing that, because love, the very nature of love is contributing, giving, well-being, you're now producing serotonin within you, and it's balancing the scales.
It's balancing the scales. And remember, it's in service. A lot of that is in service, you know, for the sustained long-term happiness. Is
what and I mean. It's in service to yourself first, right? So,
yes, exactly.
Love one another as you have loved yourself.
As you love yourself. Now, that is way different than dopamine. So let's look at this at another angle too, practicality. We know some surfers in our lives, okay? So they always share with us. We know this to be true because it's the dopamine rush when you go out and you paddle out and you get up on that wave, okay, and you let the wave take you. There's a dopamine hit that you have to keep going back to. Mm-hmm. And when that's over, you see these guys, surfers crash sometimes, like in their emotions, because they're like, I'm living for the next wave.
Yeah,
I live for the next hit. Now, where we balance that out is, all you have to do is ask yourself, where am I in service in the surfing world? Where can I be in service? Where can I be in creative flow in the surfing world to where I can balance this out? So you have the dopamine rush hit that you pound over and over again, and it's hard on your brain. It's hard on your system because you keep living. And who is that for? That's for you and you alone.
Yeah, you're needing an outside thing to validate your worth.
Yes.
To feel good, because you're needing that reward of, oh, see, I conquered something, so I'm successful now.
It's the same with free climbing. It's the same with skydiving, base jumping, whatever. These extreme sports, especially for these guys that need they call it an adrenaline rush. It's really
a
dopamine hit, because in the dopamine hit, it gives you the adrenaline rush, and that's what addiction is. And they say that heroin is very similar to that, mm-hmm. because it keeps giving you that rollover rush all the time. Mm-hmm. Same with psychedelic drugs and all of that, because it's that moment that takes you out of the pain of your reality.
Right. Or a new relationship.
Relationship.
And you don't think about your future long term. It's like, I just want it now. I want it now.
Exactly. And what is it? Okay, so
I'm going to get married. I've just met this person.
Right.
Makes me feel good. So then you get decepted by the dopamine hit, not realizing you're not in serotonin happiness long term thinking about your future. You're just thinking, oh, I just got out of this painful thing. I need a new thing now.
Exactly. And I need a new hit, new rush. And you're not.
Because I feel good, it must be right.
Yeah. And when you don't understand this, you're just going with what feels good.
In the moment,
whereas agape, unconditional love, being in love, is this sustained
long-term
serotonin that brings you happiness. But when we, quote, fall out of it, is when we leave the balance of homeostasis. We leave home for the green grass on the other side.
What was the slogan you heard the other day?
Yeah, the slogan is so good. It was on social media. It's like, the grass is greener on the other side because it's fake. So that's the deception, you guys. That's a deception.
Why it looks so perfect.
Yeah, it looks so perfect because it's plastic. So the dopamine deception, really, think about this. The dopamine deception is, it keeps you in these mad cycles and mad patterns of the hit. And then you're like, okay, how did I get in this? And then people wake up out of it eventually when they hit bottom, right? They're like, how in the world did I spiral? Well, that's because you kept wanting the dopamine hit, yeah, and it felt good. And then when it feels good, it gets skewed with going, is this God? Yeah. Or is this the devil? Is this evil?
How can it be wrong if it feels so good?
Yeah, how could it be wrong? And this is how guys run off as secretaries and all this. He's like, but the stars aligned and it just felt so good. You know, and then there's the flip side of this too. Let's talk about people that just go by the written scripture alone. And then they rule out all these feelings. Feelings and emotions are God-given. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the balance of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've been discussing it all along. Okay, so when you throw all of the emotions and the feelings out for the logos.
Logic.
For logic. Oh. Logos, L-O-G, logic. Logic alone. Then you're like, okay, you can't allow for anything spirit-led to come in there because you're not listening to the leads and the prompts.
Yeah, you're in your brain. You're in the head.
Yeah, so you've got a one-sided thing going on again. And so it's this logic. So meaning that...
rigid.
Well, the scripture says this. And then you take your stand on one or two scriptures... a lot of times out of context, but let's say they're not out of context and you just take those and you stand on them. You realize this, that you live in a real world with many, many elements and factors going on. So like take a relationship, for example. If I just sat here and told Amy constantly, well, this is what the scripture says. This is what the scripture says. And then she's over there going, I realize that, but it's not that cut and dry. You know, like if I were to tell her, you can't wear makeup, Meyer. You can't wear makeup because here it says right here, you can't wear makeup and wear your hair in a bun. How long would that last, right? It's like, and then somebody that's really into logic and scripture to the point of no flexibility here of interpretation.
Yeah, use thinner.
They'd be like, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? No makeup. That's right. Well, no makeup. Okay, we're dealing with real lives in a real world.
Where's the heart? Where's the
intentions? Heart-centeredness of this? And really, how can makeup, how is color and creativity a sin?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in what's behind it. It's all in the interpretation. It's all in not being so rigid that...
yeah.
The books of the world couldn't contain all of the things that Jesus did. And then you have the paradigms of the people that interpreted scripture that are writing it down and that are in their own paradigm in the moment. They're not fully awakened. And so you have a bias already.
And they're needing that security because they don't have a relationship all the way with God. So they need the security of the written word.
Exactly.
And instead of feeling God's heart in the matter. And guys, remember, it's no different than the Pharisees wanting to stone the lady. And Jesus waited and said, you exactly. Who have not sinned, be the first to throw the stone. And he was like, I'm about the heart. I am about the heart.
Yeah.
And here it comes. Restoration, where you're about condemning with the law and the written word.
Yeah, so as it pertains to the dopamine serotonin, again, it comes back to this homeostasis, which is the balance of it all. Saying, okay, our brain was given to us for a reason, but it's the servant to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in as the servant to undergird and support where the heart leads, where the spirit leads. And so where the spirit leads, there is emotion involved. That's where we're getting to, is that there's emotion and feelings, because if you didn't have that, then you wouldn't be able to feel your way through intuition.
You wouldn't get to enjoy, you know, the bliss and serotonin. I mean, God said, you know, delight yourself in me and I'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, I mean, geez, look at all the Song of Solomon, all the wonderful Psalms by David. There's just so much about God's goodness and pleasure and all. Look at creation alone, the fragrance in the flowers, the songs of the birds, the greenery of the trees, the ocean, the sunsets, the sunrises, the beauty in humanity. It's just endless. The taste of a ripe, juicy fruit. I mean, they're just...
Yeah, and you don't see a tree running down the street getting a dopamine hit. You don't see the rivers and the lakes.
They're
and
content. The beach. They're at rest.
No, yeah, notice how the beach has the ocean has a sustained serotonin
of ebb and
wave flow. After wave after wave, and it's always there. Mm-hmm. It's always there.
Yeah, and so there's a wave within you.
That's there's yes, the current.
There's this stream within you, and this is when you're out of alignment in your relationship with God, because that's really what it comes down to. We could say, well, you're out of alignment in your gifts, but it goes deeper than that. You're disconnected. You're disconnected through some belief, some story you're telling yourself about God, like, he didn't come through for me this last time when I demanded he do it this way. So I'm going to cut him off, and I'm going to go do it my way. So now I've got to manufacture my own hit to feel good, and isn't this what happened in the garden where, all the trees and everything God made in the garden, it wasn't enough, right? So, however the story really goes, right? They ended up having to go into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and pick that fruit that, they were tempted to say, where God's like, they were believing that God wasn't enough, right?
The deception. Adam wanted a dopamine hit.
And they wanted it now.
And he says, like, okay, this isn't good enough. And then this is why.
So this goes back to the core of humanity.
And so this is why God said, who told you?
Yeah.
Who told you that, you could have more of a dopamine effect that was long-term and long-sustaining, Adam? Who told you that?
And what happened? Now he's left vulnerable and naked.
Naked and ashamed.
And no more satisfaction.
Wow.
It was a quick fix that left a devastating future effect. Oh.
For us all to walk in from Papa Adam all the way down. Yeah. And so it's like it's in the DNA hitting us all the way down. If we side with it, but we have a choice. Here's the difference.
Yes.
We have a choice in what we do. We have free will. We can decide.
Come back into connection. When Jesus made the way, brought us back in alignment, demonstrated you guys are all sons of the Father, sons and daughters. So come back in. Walk this way. Walk this way and you'll hit the stream of alignment and all these things. Goodness and mercy shall follow you and abundance shall yield to
you. Be added to you.
Yeah. And he demonstrated over and over how prosperity works, abundance, truly lived a life of serotonin.
That's it right there. So it's dopatonin. I'm going to coin a new word here. Dopatonin. Dopamine is God-given. It's in our system, right? So you go towards something. Here's how you navigate this. So you go towards something that's pleasurable and may feel good. Let's say, for example, you're heading towards the beach. Well, the beach is going to be a serotonin effect because it's long lasting, it's sustaining. And then the dopamine is the way to the beach. So you're like, oh, I'm going to go for some pleasure. I'm going to go to the beach. Here's where we get into trouble. We stop at the store. And we get all this Crayola, I'll just say it that way. We get the bags of chips, the candy bars, the honey buns, the ding-dongs and the Twinkies, and sodas. The six-pack of beer if you drink beer, right? Then you get the sodas and all of that. You go down and you grab all that on your way to your long-lasting happiness, serotonin, at the beach. And then what happens after you drink all that and eat all that, it winds up in the ocean and pollutes the fish that are in serotonin, and then they all die off.
And then you all feel toxicity. Then you feel bloated. You're tired. So then you just sleep on the beach. You don't even get to enjoy the ocean. You're in the ocean because you had a sugar crash.
And dopamine. Let's look at the word. Dope. Dope drugs you up and you become mean. Yeah. Dopamine.
Oh, that's good.
So dopatonin. Tones
your contentment.
The right tones, and then you're in the tones. Yeah, the right tones
come out of you.
The right tones, because you're in tones, you're in the long-term happiness of that. So one of the great ways that Amy and I have found, Amy's so good with this too, because she's the detox specialist, but is to start changing up the diet. Because the more we change up our diet, the less we want the addictive things, and then we won't be mean. You leave the red meat alone,
yeah.
And then the meanness goes, because it's proven fact, medically, scientifically, that the more red meat you eat,
yeah, the meaner you get. Aggressive.
And the more addicted you get.
Well, and this was an amazing discovery I learned in my my health school and studies, is that why we have such a hard time letting go of meat is because it's actually a stimulant. The hormones in the meat, yeah, and all these things, they are a big time stimulant. That's why it's another hit. It's another drug hit. That's why you're like, oh, I gotta have my meat. Don't tell me to give up my meat, because it's a drug. It's a stimulant. But you don't realize that, again, it's a dopamine effect, because the long-term effects is it's shutting down your kidneys. You're having colon problems, heart problems. Your body's just not designed to eat it. But we've been so brainwashed by advertisement. And yeah, it tastes good. But you know what? You take away all the seasonings, all the good stuff we put on it, all the sauces. And are you going to go kill an animal right in front of you and eat that flesh, that dead flesh right there in a moment? You don't even have the nails to rip apart an animal like that, or the teeth to even rip, yeah, apart. And are you really going to dive your face right into the center of that thing and
eat raw meat?
And it's not going to taste like it does on the, you know,
warm, bloody raw meat. Are you serious?
Yeah, no. Does that sound good? No barbecue sauce, no salt and pepper. Yeah. No, you know, so you got to think about, what is it you really want? It's the flavor that's added, yeah, additives, you know,
additives. And why do people, I could just see somebody right now going, What? There's nothing wrong with just meat with nothing. That's the best meat, is nothing on it. You got to taste the flavor of the meat. And if we're defending those things, you have to ask yourself why you're defending those things, if you know or you get knowledge that they are bad for you. It's the addictive qualities of the dopamine hit,
right,
that
we're, you really feel attacked.
You really feel attacked in that area. Without knowing it, it's psychological, right?
Yes.
You're feeling attacked, and you're taking away my dopamine hit, John and Amy. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Don't mess with that. It's like when my drug stash.
It's like when we talk about politics, money, religion, anything in society.
Mm-hmm.
People get upset because, wait a minute.
Relationships.
You're taking away my dopamine hit, and I don't even know that's what you're taking. Right. I don't even realize that's what you're taking.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling attacked in my neurological system, because now you're getting real personal. You're taking away my feel good. It's the same with porn. It's the same with anything that has addictive qualities. It's, we feel like when somebody gets caught and they get angry, ooh, what does that mean?
Yeah, or somebody's,
we just take away your dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what you're angry about.
Yeah, because you need it to feel alive. You're wanting to, because you feel dead inside. And so you're needing to feel that hit to feel alive. You know, it's like, why do people go, they drink a bunch before they even get to the party of drinking, you know, they need to feel good before they even get to the party to feel good, you know, or they,
yeah.
It's just anything, it's just crazy, food, you know, I've got to feel good. So why do we need to feel so good? Why aren't we satisfied? There's something, what's wrong going on the inside? And that's where we have to really sit inside and say, well, I'm not feeling okay. Why am I not feeling okay? And because we're not giving ourselves the grace to sit with that and say, I'm allowed to feel this way. A lot of times we're stuffing the shame because we feel shame for not feeling happy. We feel shame for not enjoying all the things we have, you know, when we have them. And it's just a crazy spiral. So again, it comes back into connection with God and sitting with ourselves and really getting honest. What lie am I believing about the all-loving, all abundant, providing, most gracious, merciful God, you know,
that wants us to be in our creativity,
our Papa. Yeah,
that wants us to be, so we can have long lasting serotonin sustainment and happiness. It's like our friend, you know, that wrote Happy Money.
Yeah,
it's like Happy Money is the sustained creative flow that's of service in the public arena.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know the difference here? Another way to look at this is, you notice how people, partiers, rally around partiers because they have one thing in common, and that's a dopamine hit in common. So they say, oh yeah, drink another one, take another shot. do another one, go, go, drink, drink, drink. You hear these chants going on because it's the dopamine chanting to the dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So let's flip it over to watching America's Got Talent or something like this. And you start crying inside when you see somebody win because they're in their creativity. They're in their flow.
Yeah, they're being rewarded.
And you see
for
somebody
it.
Rewarding, being rewarded for. This is why I love to watch the judge's reaction. I want to hear the judge's reaction because I want to enter in to that celebration of the gifting of the creative flow with all of them. I feel like my spirit is a part of that going, yes, you can go, you can do this, you can run with your creativity so you can leave your dopamine stuff behind. You know, it's again, it's the pleasure of going on to HET, that's the healthy dopamine, but then it enters into the homeostasis of the serotonin balance.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. And here's the thing, you know, when you're not in alignment is because you start reaching for all the dopamine things to stop the pain, to stop the throbbing, to stop the pain. When your vertebrae is out of alignment, what are you doing? You're taking lots of ibuprofen or whatever to get rid of the pain. And instead of going and writing yourself, and a lot of times it simply starts with the belief, because you're choosing either way to believe something. Really, there's no such thing as unbelief, because you're believing either way. You're choosing to believe in some, whether it's doubting or whether it's I can do this. So you're believing either way. And that's what it comes down to. It's, again, whatever we focus on, we activate. Whatever story we're focusing on, we're activating. And a lot of times, well, how do I get out of it when I just feel so overwhelmed? And like we've always said, just go take a nap, because you're not going to be able to solve anything.
Right. And momentum, with that kind of momentum.
Yeah. You got to take a nap or just go for a walk. Change the energy up instead of just trying to figure it out, right?
Oh, man, I can't tell you how many times we've racked our brains over the years. And thank God we've awakened to learn these kind of things, you guys, because we would rack our brains just like everybody else trying to figure it out.
Yeah, because you're taught that's where you find the solution. And it's the solution energy is a completely higher frequency than the problem energy. And if you're down in the problem frequency, there's no way you're going to see the light of the solution.
Yeah, because you're in the cesspool swimming around,
yeah.
And all you can see is
so you keep kicking up
sludge.
Stuff. Stirring. Yeah. You got to be still
and
know that He is good. Know that He is God. Know that He is good.
And stillness is that heart-centered place where you're at home. And we all know what that feels like to us. When we sit on a beach or you're sitting near a river, whatever it is for you, maybe it's just simply sitting in your bed and you have the essential oils going or whatever it is
right,
for you.
Right.
You're sitting on a bench somewhere and you that feels like home to you in the moment. Why? Because stillness is home.
Mm-hmm.
Stillness is our foundational point. It's our starting point. And this is why, you know, God told Moses at the Red Sea, be still, go home, Moses. Don't freak out. And one side or the other here. Don't go extreme. Don't do the pendulum swing. Go to your homeostasis point here. Go to the middle point of heart-centeredness and watch the magnetism. Watch what heart-centeredness will do.
Yes. Go
still
into
yourself.
The I love.
Yeah.
Just keep going, because that will bring you right into the center.
Yeah. What did
I
it
love,
do?
I love. I love.
Yeah, and there's
fill
such,
in the blank.
What it does is there's such profound, miraculous effects, supernatural events. The miraculous happens in this point to such a degree to where if you're in a crisis moment like Moses was, it actually busts open a wide path, a neural pathway that's seen in the natural that parts the seas. So in his case, in the natural, it was so potent that it blasted open a neural pathway, so to speak, in the natural, to where people could walk over on dry land. It busted open away. And so this is where God comes and gets us and adds things to us. It begins, but it comes, the kingdom is in us. So it actually comes from the inside out and busts
right.
open opportunities to reach out like a long magnet and then bring in those things to us so that we can see that homeostasis works. Yes. It actually works in a supernatural, natural way. From the smallest things to the most miraculous things. And all God is saying is come home.
That's right.
Come home. Come home to heart-centeredness. Come home. Drop down from the logic side of things down into heart-centeredness balance so that you can see that, wait a minute, you don't need dopamine hits all the time. The serotonin will sustain you because it's from the inside out. And the happiness is what we're after, guys. Some people say, oh, you don't want to be... Happiness is not sustainable. That it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, it's happiness, joy, you know, joy.
Joy, happiness is sustaining.
And that's the difference, right? It's the development of being connected within. And this is the crossing over of your Red Sea moment, is you're moving from the Egypt mindset of the slavery to things on the outside of you.
Addictions.
Trying to reach to satisfy you. Versus you have your Red Sea moment where you drop down within and the sea parts into the lane of serotonin and you cross over into that contentment in the midst of storms, in the midst of impossibility. And you can walk right on through because you've come to a place of fully satisfied within. You don't need any outside source. You don't need any person to make you happy and fulfilled. You don't need anything, job, space. You can be that perfect place of rest within. In Him, seated in Christ, seated in inside. And that is when you've come into that place of meaning, contentment, wholeness, and nothing holds you anymore.
Yeah, and you're walking across on dry land, and instead of looking at the enormous walls of water on the other side of you going, oh my gosh, I better get across here or they're going to crash in on me.
Right, in
you
your can head.
You can marvel at all the fish swimming around in the walls of water. Go, oh, look, there's a shark. Oh, look at that colorful fish.
Isn't that amazing? I love this, right? I love these seashells. I love those fish. I love this water. I love my God. I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah, and you hear the roars just roaring around. It's almost like, okay, in Florida, there's these massive, powerful thunder and lightning storms.
Yeah, in
you
the
can
evenings.
Process this two ways, right? Some people just freak out thinking, oh my goodness, is that lightning going to hit me?
Right.
Or the others just sit in a chair and they watch the show and they go, wow,
this is
look
the
at
best
this.
Firework show ever. Oh this my gosh, is awesome. This is incredible. Feel that rippling thunder roll through us. It's just mind blowing.
And you're in awe. See, that's the quote, fear of God that people talk about. It's the awe of this amazing, wonderful, powerful substance before us.
And it's a
it's
choice.
The awe of God. It's not the, I'm shrinking in fear, afraid of God.
Yeah.
It's the awe and wonder of a blissful life saying, man, you're majestic, you're powerful. And, you know, it's one of those things where when we come into heart-centeredness, then like one spiritual teacher said, it's like no matter what happens around us, we're, oh, good, this is exciting, this is
it's
awesome.
It's Christmas every day.
A challenge? Oh, man, this is okay. I love to see what's going to come out of this. This is amazing. And that what is who is speaking in that moment? What is speaking in that moment? Serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the dopamine going, oh, my goodness. I got to get another hit somehow.
Yeah, I'm freaking
hit
out.
Hit a fear.
I'm freaking out. I need to, oh, I got to calm this down before I go crazy. You know,
some people are so addicted to survival mentality through the dopamine hits. It's formed the survival mentality that says that I got to run, fight, flight, and fear. I got to fight
so
it
you
or
live
I got to run
that.
From it or
and,
I become numb.
And cortisol kicks in with the stress hormone. We don't realize we're being run by hormones, you guys. And that's the frustrating thing, right? We're confused. We're like, why is my body freaking out so much? What is going on? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, right? You keep saying it over and over. Well, what's going on is you're getting a hormonal rush through your beliefs, right? It all starts as a man thinketh,
yes.
So he is. Or again, wherever you place your attention, you activate that thing in you. And so your body's responding to your beliefs. So if you're, you know, thinking fear, the worst case scenario, survival, then you're reaching for a dopamine hit to calm yourself down.
Oh, I just got this picture. Okay. I got this picture of this cruise ship, Okay. And people are on there for many different reasons. Okay. All walks of life, all different nations. They're on this massive cruise ship going on a 10-day cruise. And then I just got a flash of, like 12 people sitting around this large table in this beautiful dining room on a cruise ship. And they're drinking and they're eating. Some are drinking water, some are drinking wine, some are drinking hard alcohol. And then there's a dance floor over here on the side and people are dancing, you know, having a good time. And you've got about 4 or 5 people at that table of 12. 4 or 5 people, some are drinking water, some are just having one glass of wine, some are having one beer, one drink, okay, of that 4 or 5 people. Then the rest of them are just drinking one after another. They're indulging in the food. The 4 or 5 people here have salads and fruit and maybe a piece of fish, and they're just contently enjoying it. And the majority over here are indulging, going plate after plate, going up to the buffet line. Right. They're driving beer because after beer, unlimited, drink after drink.
And it's advertised, yeah, all-inclusive. Yeah.
So then the all-inclusive guys over here that are getting loaded look at the guys over there and say, come on, man, you have another one.
You get paid your money for worth. This.
Come on, have another. What's wrong with you, you party poop?
You don't know how to live it up, man. Live it up. Live in the moment.
Live in the moment. And the 4 or 5 people over there are going, hey, guys, have a great night. We've had a wonderful time so far, but have a good night. We're going to go check out the stars. We're going to go out on the deck and we're going to look.
Get our serotonin hit.
We're going to go. Yeah. So what is happening here? The difference is, and then the partiers find out the next day when they're all hungover, they have the conversation on the lounge chairs getting sun next to the guys, the 4 or 5 guys that were in their serotonin. They have the conversation. Hey, what do you do for a living, man? Oh, here, let me pop another Tylenol. Oh, hold on a second.
I know,
I'm on
my third cup of coffee this morning.
Third cup of coffee, or I'm going to have another beer to try to get this worn off. So, hey, man, what do you do for a living? And the serotonin dude speaks up and says, oh, man, I love my job. Oh, I love it.
I'm a full-time writer.
I'm writing on the. In fact, I'm getting ready to go back to the cabin here in just a little bit to write. I just love it. I'm so in love with it. I just love it. And then the next person, that serotonin person, goes, oh, yeah, I'm an artist. Oh, isn't this beautiful? I'm going to paint the scenery out here later on. You know,
yeah,
I can't wait to get
come.
Back to it. Mm-hmm. And then the partier there that's getting ready to puke in a bucket on the right side of him goes,
my life sucks. I'm in a job I can't stand. My mortgage is about ready to tip over. This is my last ditch effort. Oh, here's something too. Yeah, a lot of people.
Hold on, like, I just want to finish this.
Okay.
So the guy gets up and he goes, hey, I'll see you guys later. I'm going back to the bar. And on his way to the bar, he trips and falls and breaks his kneecap. Now he can't go back to his construction work because he breaks his kneecap. What does he do? He goes to the bar after he gets his kneecap fixed and he starts getting loaded again. He pukes and falls overboard.
Then goes home. A lot of prescription.
Oh, let's back up. No, that's too extreme.
He goes to his room. Now he's going to take a bunch of prescription.
Yeah.
While he has to call work.
And now we read about
he's
it.
He's having to work on the job while he's on his cruise because he's controlled.
And then we read about the dance floor brawl on the cruise ship that just happened recently.
Because he hates his life.
So, I mean, it's funny, but it's not. Oh, right? Man. Because you might be sitting there laughing too, going, hey, that's my life right now. Or I'm the serotonin guy, man. I'm all good. But there's so much truth
to this. How do I cross that chasm to get to the serotonin? Well, there is no chasm. It's a belief.
Beliefs just have no chasms.
You've got 2 feet, one right in front of the other. Just take a left turn instead of the right, or right instead of the left. We're powerful to choose. We've got to choose to stop playing the victim and making everybody else responsible for our happiness and say, no, it starts with me. I've got to choose this for myself. And this is the 101 of self-care.
Yeah. What were you going to say before we stop talking about the guy with the beer belly?
It came to me that, you know, when we were living in Hawaii on Oahu, they were telling us about how a lot of people from Japan, it's their last-ditch feel-good effort before they commit suicide.
Just
our hearts were broke when we heard that, because they save up their money because the pressures are so intense over there, you know, to be just perfect. So they just, like, they take their money, like, I'm going to come live it up on Oahu for a few weeks and then end it because I can't go back to the stress
and the it's heartbreaking, being out of alignment
with my heart. But I feel the pressures of society or my parents to be a lawyer, to be the doctor, to be the, you know, perfection. And I can't do it.
It's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching.
So you've got that side too, right? The innocence of it. And you're just looking for relief. And you're overwhelmed. And they were showing the studies too about the brain being so overwhelmed. And
it's like this network that's just going haywire. Just going... And then before you just... Boom! It blows up.
Mm-hmm.
You know... Okay, so before we wrap this message up, we just let's give some practical practicality here. Okay, again, we mentioned some of it throughout this, but practicality again, start where you're at. Okay, just kind of take a mini assessment of your life right now. Right. Sit in stillness. Just still. I can't sit still. Yes, you can. It's gonna be
it'll
okay.
It'll pass. Just sit with first it.
First thing,
pass. Yeah.
First thing you tell yourself, it's okay to feel this way.
Yes, that just will tell yourself you. That
out shame. Loud. Out loud. If you can't do it out loud, you're around 100 kids around you or something, just say.
Get in the car.
Get in the car.
Lock
do
the
it,
doors.
Do it internally. It's okay to feel this yes. way. And then sit with that for a minute and go, ah.
Yes.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
And go, ah. Okay.
And then smile at the end of it.
And then sit there for a moment. Sit there for a moment. What comes up? What bubbles up? What comes up, okay? Then start with that. If something comes up saying, yeah, don't have that third cheeseburger today. At least you started with eliminating one of the cheeseburgers, okay? Yeah. Just start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're addicted to ice cream, if you're addicted to coffee, you know, to get through your day, some people go to Starbucks 5 times a day, okay? Just start with eliminating one of those trips to Starbucks. Fast. You can mm-hmm. do it. And then you're going to feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then a little bit better.
So your brain can heal and you can start getting the new cells in place to help bring that homeostasis balance.
Yeah. So you start there, right? And then you'll start getting less and less and less addicted. And then the serotonin, the happiness side of things, the homeostasis will start rising up, start revealing itself to you. And then all of a sudden, your creative ideas will come back. We saw this one movie, and it was this one lady. She so suppressed her artistic gift. And she had kids, and life got in the way of, you know, just all of this stuff. And then she forgot that she was an artist. But then she went away to this retreat. And she's walking by the sea down a path. And she begins to remember. She looks around at nature. Best way to do this, you guys, get out into nature. Just get into nature somewhere because nature will speak to you. See, nature is absorbed in serotonin happiness. That's all it is. So when you get out in nature, it's going to speak to you. You know, it's going to speak to you and it's going to start bringing up that thing in you that's creative. And then you're going to begin to get excited with the dopamine, which is healthy. For excitement, but then it's a healthy dopamine, it's a healthy excitement, then it'll move right into serotonin. When you put your hand to the paintbrush, when you put your hand to the writing or whatever it is that speaks to you, that's the way to start. And again, it's baby steps. It's baby steps. Some of you are going to have to do something radical. Like something's killing you right now.
You got to shift your energy course because you keep doing the same things, getting the same results, expecting it to change, right? So you've got to do something completely different to shift the energy.
And what do you say this to yourself? This just came to me. Say this to yourself. Am I leaving happiness for short-term pleasure? Am I about ready to leave happiness, long-term sustained joy, happiness, creativity, for short-term pleasure? Meaning, if you're getting ready to go out and have an affair, the problem is that we don't sit long enough with ourselves to think about the consequences of that, because the dopamine hits that we've been doing have numbed and killed off those cells to the point to where we gotta have a dopamine rush, and that's why you keep running back to that secretary, running back to that dude at the gym.
Or pornography.
Pornography is a perfect example because it's right there, as close as your phone, or it's right there as close as your computer. And so you think, okay, It's not going to hurt. Another hit, another hit, another hit, another hit. And then before long, that doesn't do it anymore. And then you wind up going, you need the real thing. And then you got to go have somebody.
Yeah. And these it's creating a neurological pathway.
That's so it.
You're training your body to now look for this stuff. It's as simple as you want a red car. So now your body starts looking everywhere and seeing red cars. You're training your body. You're telling it what to look for. And so now it starts bringing you these things or bringing you the opportunity or bringing you the feeling. Oh, your body says, oh, okay, so this made you feel good. Okay, so, well, let's bring that to you again. You need to feel good. You need to feel good. And it starts warring against you. That's why they always say it's better not to open something up, you know, just because you're curious and you want to try something. It's better not to open it up because it'll be harder to close it. Because now you've just activated it. And you got to go through the process of letting, you know, the withdrawals and letting it die off. So it's better not to let your curiosity go there, right? Yeah.
Man, it's so good, you guys. So some nuggets to chew on. Mm-hmm. We're going to speak in a lot more on this as well because it's really hits. It's the rubber that meets the road here with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all want to feel good.
And here's one thing to keep in mind is there's a reason why, quote, third world nations are happier in a lot of ways as a whole. Not saying everyone because there's extreme poverty in these areas, right? But when you look at the faces and the smiles of the children that are in these third world countries, why is that? It's because they're not bombarded with all of these rich nation things that we
marketing,
have around us, the marketing, the TV, the phones. They just have nature to play with. That's it. They're playing in nature.
And nature gives to them, and they're so grateful. They're like, I love this. I love this water. I love these flowers. I love... So they're in I love a lot of the time. And then so that creates that serotonin, you know, and their families and all that. So, again, it comes down to a choice, you know?
Yeah, it really does.
And really thinking about what do you want your future to be. Because you're going to get there at some point. You're either going to get there in a crash and burn or you're going to choose now, you know, to enter that path of sustainable happiness. Because that's what you want, right? You want to feel good and have sustained happiness and joy. So, it's amazing, right? When truth reveals itself... seek and you'll find. So seek the evidence and the truth about what's going on inside of you, that it's a chemical reaction.
Oh man.
And
we're gonna share a lot more. Another good area we want to talk about is rights. It just came up in me. Rights. This is my right. What is that really embedded in? Are you really saying, well, this is my right to have a dopamine hit?
Yeah.
Really think about that until next time.
We'll pick up on that. I don't feel good and I need to feel good now.
That's right. Okay, guys. Yep. Thanks so much for listening.
Share this
if you want to. Mm-hmm. And we'll be here for the next one and we can't wait to hear your feedback. It's always encouraging to just hear how this is helping you. And how it's encouraging your walk. Some of you do, and we just thank you. We're grateful that, you know, you're listening and it's helping you in some way. Because listen, if we walk through a lot of this ourselves, and I lost a lot of hair doing this kind of stuff, you know, and we've, believe me, we have been to the breaking point of just pushing the limits and trying to figure things out.
Right. Find the answers, how to have a thriving life. You know, with God, because you have to go through religion, you have to go through society, and it's such a wild journey, isn't it? And coming to the place of simplicity and just heaven culture within. So God made it, right? God said, unless you become like a little child. So let's keep it simple.
Yeah.
And life gets a whole lot better that way.
All right. Till next time.
Love
we love you.
Guys. Talk soon.
Battles up.